Hello, this is Pastor Corey Ehrman. You're listening to my podcast. I hope it blesses, encourages, and inspires you. I pray that the Holy Spirit will touch you through this teaching. Thank you for tuning in, and God bless. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs, the third chapter. We've been on the subject of praise and worship this entire month, and it's been incredible. I want us to look here and at another important way that we worship the Lord, which is by our giving. Verse 9 in the Amplified says, honor the Lord with your capital and sufficiency from righteous labors, and with the first fruits of all your income. And the key word there is first fruits. First. Everyone say first. That's what worship is. Worship is about putting God first in your life. You know, when you put God first in your life, worship becomes your lifestyle. In everything you do, you are constantly aware of the fact that God has first place in your life. He is your top priority. Your relationship with God is your top priority. Everything you do comes out of that. Because see, when you get your priorities in the right place, your life begins to line up. The reason a lot of people's lives are out of order is because they've never got their priorities in the right place. They've got other things in the way. But once you get God as the number one and first place in your life as priority in every area, that includes relationships, finances, just the way you live your life, and it becomes a lifestyle of worship, a lifestyle of honoring the Lord. And so you put God first place. And you can see here in the scripture, it says, honor the Lord with your capital, with your income. Another translation says with your possessions and with your increase or your income. So whatever income, whatever comes in, you put God first place. You always honor the Lord by bringing him the first fruits, bringing him the tithes and the offerings and worshiping the Lord in your giving. And when you do that, guess what? God gets involved in your finances. Reason a lot of Christians struggle in the area of finances is because they haven't got God involved in their finances. They want God involved in every other area except their finances. Get God involved in your finances. Amen. Get the blessing of God over your finances. Hallelujah. Make God your partner. Make God your, you know, number one priority and get him involved. And when you get God involved, guess what happens? Hallelujah. Then the supernatural element comes into your life. Because he does supernatural things. He does miraculous things. Hallelujah. So you can see honor because that's worship. What is worship? It's giving honor. So honor the Lord or worship the Lord with your giving. So your giving becomes a part of your worship. You give to worship. You're not giving to get something back. That's how the world thinks. You know, it's all, what's in it for me? Well, if you actually think about it, we have already received a lot. But guess what? God's going to bless you. There will always be a return when you put God first place. And look at, that's what verse 10 is. That's what he does. When you honor God, he honors you. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty. Hallelujah. Who likes that? Get some bigger storage places because it's going to be filled with plenty. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty. Hallelujah. Doesn't the word say in Deuteronomy 28 that he will give us a surplus of prosperity? He'll open to us his heavenly treasure. Hallelujah. Our storage places will be filled with plenty. There'll be a surplus. Think about this. You're going to go from a place of, a lot of people are in a place of not enough. Many are in a place of just enough. But God is a God of abundance. He's El Shaddai. He wants to bring us into a place of more than enough. But that more than enough is reserved for those who put him in first place. More than enough is reserved for those that press in and get a hold of the things of God. Hallelujah. Because God's looking for people that are faithful, trustworthy. And when he can trust you, he'll bring more into your hands. Hallelujah. So shall your storage places be filled with plenty, and your vats shall overflow with new wine. Well, I don't have any vats. Yes, you do. You know where your vat is? Right here. Come on, point to your vat. That's going to overflow with new wine. Not fats. I said vats. Not fats. Vats. Some of you are like, oh man, I got a little gut check that I got to lose some. Your vats will be over, because what is the new wine? New wine is a type of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus referred to new wine being the power of God. You can't take new wine and put it into old wineskins, which is that traditional religious structure, stiff and starchy and dignified and religious and legalistic. That is not flexible. But the new wine is a type of the power of God, of the joy of the Holy Spirit. How many of you want your life filled with joy? Hallelujah. See, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. If he doesn't add sorrow, what does he add? He adds joy to your life so that you can enjoy all things. Hallelujah. But before you can enjoy all things, you have to enjoy God's presence in your life. You have to delight yourself in the Lord so that he will give you the desires of your heart. You can't just be looking to delight yourself in things. Then what happens is your priorities are off. You got to delight yourself in the Lord, seeking his presence, seeking to have that intimate, you know, life-giving, vivid relationship with the Lord. And when you make that your first priority, seeking first his kingdom, his righteousness, all these things that people are chasing after to find delight in will actually be added to you, because you've actually delighted yours. You're full. Your delight tank is full because of the presence of God. Because in his presence, there is fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. When he meets your needs, when you find fulfillment and joy in your life because of the presence of God, then you don't have room for other things. You're already full. You're already overflowing with new wine. Your vat's overflowing with new wine. When you are living out of the overflow of the presence of God in your life, then things are just things. They don't really move you. You're not moved by those things. You're not chasing after those things. Those things are chasing after you. The blessing of the Lord is gonna chase you down and overtake you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on.
So it comes down to, what are you full of? Some people are just full of themselves. Others are full of crap. It's true. I said it. I used a nice word. And Jesus used a similar word. He called it dung. Some are full of dung. But when you're full of God, and he is your all in all, and you delight yourself in him, and he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants, he takes pleasure in you being blessed. When you take pleasure in your relationship with the Lord. Amen. I mean, just think about it. Let's say you have a friend, never calls you, never says hi, never. The only time they ever call you is they have a need to hit you up for money. That's not even a friend. Anybody ever have anybody like that? You avoid them like the plague. You see the phone, do you see the number? Sorry, can't talk right now. Because they just... All they do is they call you to get something because they just want something from you. So you don't want God to hit, sorry, can't talk right now, back to you. Because that can't be the only time you ever reach out, because you have a need. God, I have a need. Well, I have needs too, God says. I need you to go there and win the loss. I need you to go over here and help this one. I need you to go over there. I need you over here. I need you in this city. I need you in this country. I need you to sow into that crusade. I need you to get mobilized. I need you to come to Bible school. I need you to get in my word. I need you to get in my presence too. I'm looking for vessels of honor that I may use. I'm looking, I need someone that I can pour into, through whom I can pour out. Hallelujah. Somebody said, God, does God really need me? Absolutely. Why? Because he says he will not do anything unless he speaks through his prophets. So he's looking for people to be oracles of God, mouthpieces of God. He's looking for people to go and speak to the nations, speak to the masses, speak to the lost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go heal the sick. Go lay hands on them. Go cast out devils. Go make disciples. So he's looking for us to be instruments, mighty instruments of warfare and victory in his hands. Hallelujah. Do you realize you're a weapon? Huh? Do you realize that you're a weapon in God's hands? When you get full of the fire of the Holy Ghost, there's fire power on the inside of you. And he's going to blow away some devils through you. A Holy Ghost cannon. You're going to be a Holy Ghost bazooka. You're going to be a Holy Ghost heat-seeking missile. You're going to wreak havoc in the camp of the enemy. You're going to blaze the trails of revival. Hallelujah. You're going to run through a troop. You're going to leap over a wall. Glory to God. Shakahanda mamba mamba. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you all, you don't even know. You don't even realize what God's going to do with you. You're just getting started. You just dabbled in it a little bit. Man, God's going to use some of you in such a powerful way. Hallelujah. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has entered into the hearts of man all the things that God has in store for those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. You have a divine purpose in your life. Connect with your divine purpose. Connect with your heavenly calling. Connect with running the heavenly race. Stop trying to run the rat race. Run the heavenly race. God is for you. Who can be against you? He's going to use you. You're going to be a mighty instrument in his hands. You're going to be a weapon. Hallelujah. That's why the devil is afraid of the church that's on fire. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Some of you are going to go into the camp of the enemy and take back what he's stolen. You're going to go into the camp of the enemy. You're going to go into the schools. You're going to go into the governments. You're going to go into the highways and the byways. And you're going to wreak havoc in the camp of the enemy because you are full of the power of the Holy Ghost. Huh? It's time for some on fire Holy Ghost filled believers to rise up. He can't use those churches that want to mask up, shut down, comply. I'm sorry to say, but that's the truth. They're full of fear. They bound their knees to Nebuchadnezzar. We may be thrown in the furnace, but we will not burn. We may be thrown in the lion's den, but we'll be sound asleep. Because he'll send an angel to shut the mouth of the lion. There'll be another one in the fire with you. One who looks like the Son of Man. And you won't even have the smell of smoke on you. There'll be supernatural protection. Hallelujah. Do we really believe the word or not? Hallelujah. Because they're already preparing. I'm telling you right now, they are already preparing for shutdowns in October. They're already, Biden's already talking about a new vaccine. He already signed for it. They're going to push it again. They want to bring back the masks again. They want to bring back all the shutdowns again and lockdowns again, especially with the transportation and the flight. They're going to try to push it again. You know why? Because there's another election coming up. It's all a game. It's all a game. And people are lost. They're clueless about what's going on because they're so disconnected from the things of God. And I'm talking about even Christians. They're living by information, not revelation. But we have revelation. We know who our God is. Those who know their God shall do exploits. Hallelujah. We're not backing down for anything. I'm already just telling you right now. You better know. We're going to take a stand. We'll never shut down like we never have. We won't lock down. We'll keep worshiping. We'll keep praising. I'll keep blowing on and breathing on people. I'll keep laying hands on people. I might even spit on them. Not intentionally. Sometimes showers of blessing come out from my mouth. The front row gets a little bit showers of blessing while I'm preaching. Glory to God. I've never had one intentionally spit on me. Pastor, spit on me. We got some crazy people here at the river. When you got people that are sticking their head out to be spit on, they are wild. They'll run. We're raising up a radical bunch in this place. I've never had anybody stick their head out, spit on me, Pastor. Oh, my Lord. You're going to get me in trouble. You got to be careful in America. They'll sue you.
He spat on me.
They would sue Jesus today as well. What do they call him? Spitting preacher. He goes around spitting. He spit in the blind man's eyes. Gross. No, that's where the that's where much of the religious church is at. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 26 verse 19 says, "I'll make you high above all nations, in praise, in fame, and in honor." I'll make you high above all nations in praise, in fame, and in honor. That's what happens when God honors you. He raises you up. He makes you high above all the peoples. He makes you the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. That's how God honors his people. Hallelujah. If you honor God, he will honor you. And that comes with a twofold promise. Storage places filled with plenty. Your house, your bank account, your work, your business, you know, all the natural. And then your vats overflowing with new wine, which is the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And look at this. Deuteronomy 28:8 says, "He will command his blessing upon you." He will command his blessing upon you. When God commands his blessing upon you, no man can curse you. Whom God has blessed, no man can curse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will command his blessing upon you. He'll pour you out a blessing you won't have room enough to receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what happens when God commands his blessing upon you? He speaks to your circumstances. He says, "I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." You won't even have to rebuke the devourer. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. He'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Hallelujah. He will command his blessing upon you. And the blessing of the Lord will move at the speed of light. You can't move fast enough. I've had people ask me, "Pastor, am I kind of moving too fast? Oh, it's the time of acceleration." You can't even move fast enough to outrun the blessing of God. Ha ha ha! the speed of the Holy Ghost. Why are they laughing? I guess it's the new wine. I guess the vats are overflowing with new wine.